webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, September 8th, 2010. The only Jewish New Year 2010 ever. Lashana Tova, everybody. It is. It's Rosh Hashanah at sundown here on the East Coast of the United States of America. And at sundown around the world, this is celebrating the Jewish New Year, which is a big deal to both the Jewish and non-Jewish people who are starting to embrace their so-called Jewish roots of their faith. And basically in Israel, for you beautiful humans to know, it's another reason to celebrate. If there's one thing the Israeli people like to do is celebrate. In their minds, and rightfully so, they're on borrowed time. And so they might as well have a good time, an enjoyable time. And so they do. And we want to wish you a happy new year wherever you're logging on to around the world and coming to us live from the home offices of the Gospel Revolution, the president, the founder, the all-knowing sage from the home office, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael, happy new year!
And happy new year to you, Brother Glenn.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, this is a big deal.
Good thing.
To a lot of so-called Christians and Messianic Jews and, of course, Jewish people of all persuasion. But Rosh Hashanah is not mentioned at all in the Bible.
Yeah.
The actual biblical New Year, if you'll recall, is at the Passover. Remember when the Lord told him that this would be considered the front of the year or the beginning of the year?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the Jewish calendar, there's basically two New Years. There's the New Year that is represented by the Passover, and the New Year, Rosh Hashanah literally means the head of the year. Rosh in Hebrew is head of the year, Rosh Hashanah. And there's some great foreshadowing and typology, even in Rosh Hashanah. But it's a beautiful thing to know, as we do, that nobody who is commemorating the Jewish New Year tonight, whether they be a believer in Christ or not, has got anything up on anybody else. Vis-a-vis knowing what the holiday is about, commemorating it, taking time off or acknowledging it in any way. God doesn't look down and see any kind of a blessing coming for people like that or is pleased in any way by that fact. True?
This is very true. I think the nation of Israel has it right. Let's just celebrate. This isn't a... you know, it's not a holy day, not any holier than any other day. There are people who do respect certain days of others. But, in the eyes of God, it's all one day. It's all a new day. And that new day started 2,000 years ago, and the sun has never set.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
This is Glenn Klein Online. That's Michael Williams. It's Gospel Revolution Webcast Wednesday. We're glad to have you along. We want to hear from you. The toll-free number is available at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. We have lots to get to, lots to report. We're going to give you an update on the now just completed Summer Pledge Drive. We went online about 4 minutes ago. That was the official end to the Summer Pledge Drive. We'll have the full report coming up. We've got a clip from Glenn Beck right after the big rally in Washington, D.C. a week ago last Saturday. We'll talk a lot about that. We've got a lot of emails that's been piling up during the pledge drive, and we want to get to those. So we have a lot to do, but we also very much want to hear from you. Sean's waiting to take your call at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening and it's 5 minutes after the hour on Wednesday night, 9 o'clock on the East Coast, that is your cue to call, and we want to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260. We are going to forego Pastor Ted and the Pastor Ask segment this evening. He's got a great question lined up, but we had asked for his indulgence just because we've had so many comments and so many emails come in over these last several weeks that we just have not gotten to. And so we will get to Pastor Ted and the Pastor Asks hopefully next week. So that's cool. But right online coming up here is a gentleman that actually has one of the questions that was sent via Facebook and email, but we're going to go to him directly because he has deigned to call in, which we appreciate. Let's go to Homer Arnold in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Homer!
How you doing?
We are doing wonderfully. How are you? Say hello to Mike Williams.
Hello,
hey,
Mike
Homer.
And Glenn.
Hey, Homer.
Yes,
how you doing?
We're doing great.
I listened to your Bull Grace on the web.
Yes.
And I listened to the message called The Gospel of Peace.
Yes.
Yeah, you mentioned about Jesus being in the spirit, but that he, in the flesh, he broke the law, the Ten Commandments. I found that to be true also, without knowing about him being in the spirit. The reason why the Pharisees wanted to kill him all the time was because he was breaking the law.
Yeah.
And they were being loyal to God by killing people who broke the law.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, they were being loyal to God because the scripture said if anyone comes to you preaching another gospel, you must put them to death that very day. And it also says if anyone is caught in the act of adultery, you must kill them that very day. Because when the woman was caught in the act of adultery, he said, neither shall I cast a stone at you. He said, he who has no sin, cast the first stone. And when all of you went away, one by one, eldest to the youngest, Jesus said to the lady, neither shall I cast a stone at you.
Yeah, that's very true. And we do know that, Jesus had a problem with the Pharisees because he healed on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. There's other references, but the issue comes down to that it's virtually irrelevant. Jesus was put to the cross by the law.
Right.
It was a requirement of the law that Jesus have to die. And to fulfill the law, the requirement of the law, he had to be the very object of the law and was the law itself, even hanging on the cross. He was it. He was crucified by it and under its demands. And but the reality, as you heard and you've already come to that conclusion, is Jesus was the perfect sacrifice because he was born of the Spirit, not because of any degree of lack of humanness, which you would have to be not totally human if you kept all of the law, because that's what the law was for, was to show that humans can't keep all of the law. So the issue of Jesus being qualified sacrifice was by virtue of him being born of the Spirit. Now, you're born of the Spirit. Yes, we all are born of the Spirit now due to the magnificent resurrection of Jesus, which he brought all back to life. And that's why we are not subject to the laws, because now we are born of the Spirit. And the law is only in effect with someone who is not born of the Spirit. And being born of the Spirit takes you out from under the requirements of the law.
which nobody could keep anyway.
Even though we're not under the law, we should still uphold the law, not to be running out having licentiousness.
I understand what you mean, that we, you know, that everyone, you know, should treat other people right and stuff, but it's very different than upholding the law. You see, we have to remember what the law was given for, and we can't uphold it for a reason that God didn't give it. God didn't give the law to make us righteous. God gave the law to condemn us, and it did its job. The law was given to prove that man could not be righteous on his own. So, and it's kind of like David. You know, David said that he loved God's law. But you see, David was the same one who got the revelation of righteousness by faith. But he could get that revelation because of he totally accepted the conclusion of God's law. That God's law left him unrighteous. And then he got the revelation, blessed is the man that God makes righteous who hasn't done anything right. And blessed is the man to whom God will not hold sin against. So David loved God's law, but he didn't love it to keep it. He loved it because it led him to righteousness.
Cool. Can I leave you with one last scripture before I stop talking?
You sure may.
Matthew 12, verse 1 through 12, says that when Jesus and his disciples were plucking corn on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees asked him, why your disciples were plucking corn on the Sabbath day? And Jesus told them two stories. The first story, what he told the Pharisees, was about David and the showbread. When his men was hungry, coming back from a war or something, they ate the showbread, and they didn't die.
Yep.
And then he says, the priests, every Sabbath day, defile the Sabbath day by working on it. And they don't get destroyed. And then he says, then shall I be destroyed.
Yeah.
He's telling them that I'm doing the same thing they're doing. They should have been destroyed.
That's exactly right.
And when I tell my friends this, they think I'm crazy. But I show it right to them out of the scriptures. They think I'm crazy.
Well, Homer, listen. Are you listening on the computer right now as well?
No.
Can you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about a lot of what you just talked about, but we want to open up the line for other callers.
Thank you.
Stay in touch with us, okay? But either listen live for the remainder of the show or get on the archive later on to hear what we have to say after. All right, man.
Awesome. Thank you for calling in.
Okay.
Bye, Homer. There's Homer Arnold, ladies and gentlemen, of beautiful Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Yeah. Homer said he was getting in trouble for
his youth. Yeah, we understand, Homer.
Join the crowd. I remember people coming up to me, and of course I've taught for many years that I really believe that this understanding is in everybody's heart. I'm just putting words to it, because if it is imputed righteousness through the work of the cross, then it's there. It's just never been had words put to it. And I've had people come up to me and say, oh, my goodness, I'm so glad. Now I know I'm not crazy. And I said, no, this doesn't mean you're not crazy. It just means there's two of us now.
What it does mean is that you are righteous and perfect. So he actually gave us quite a bit to talk about.
Yeah.
As we do, beautiful humans, I want to remind you that number is now available to you. Sean will take your call. We'll get you online quickly at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. All right, so first of all, this whole issue of licentiousness, or what Christianity or the church would say would be, if you preach grace the way we preach it, it's a license to sin.
Right.
What do you say?
The first thing that is the a total blank space in people's understanding is it can't be a license to sin, because there is no such thing anymore.
Sin does not exist in the sight of God, in the eyes of God, in the opinion of God. It was obliterated.
It was totally obliterated.
Ladies and gentlemen, you never sin.
Yeah.
Cannot say it any stronger than that and any more clear. As far as God is concerned, in our understanding of the gospel, you do not sin. Nobody does.
Yeah, it's just virtually impossible. Not through unbelief, which was the sin, nor through disobeying God's laws, which is all of the other sins, because unbelief was completely fulfilled by Jesus, and man, he took the sin of the world, which was unbelief, upon himself. Jesus didn't take the sins of the world. Jesus didn't die for gluttony. He didn't die for homosexuality. He didn't die for adultery. He didn't die for murder. Jesus died to take away the sin. And when he took away the sin, he also took away the law, which Jesus did not die. It is so vitally important that people understand that people didn't die for what we did. That is not true. It is a horrid lie that is perpetrated by Catholicism and then, of course, filters on down through Protestantism. But Jesus didn't hang on the cross because you lied and you cheated or you did something bad. Jesus hung on the cross for what one man did, and that was Adam. And then Jesus took the law away because his very body was the law. The Word was made flesh. Part of the Word of God is the law, and Jesus' physical body became the Word of God, and the Word of God was nailed to the cross. And therefore, the Word of God was completely fulfilled at the cross.
Ladies and gentlemen, Homer, everybody else is listening. You cannot sin as far as God is concerned.
Yeah,
what do you mean, Glenn? Do you mean that if I have a sexual thought about somebody I'm not married to and that I masturbate to that thought that I'm not sinning? Yes, you're not sinning. If you have sex with somebody that you're not married to, you're not sinning. If you smoke, drink, or chew, or hang around with girls that do, you're not sinning. If you like rock and roll music, you are not sinning. If you say God damn, you are not sinning. If you say Jesus Christ as a so-called expletive or a expression of frustration, you are not sinning. You can't sin. Now, all those things that I just named are up to you, whether you want to do them personally or not. That is completely up to you. But as far as God is concerned, you are not earning any favors with God by not doing those things. You are not earning any cursing by God or any less in the sight of God or the eyes of God by abstaining from the things that typical religion and typical Christianity said you cannot do in order to be righteous or in good standing with God. Can't be any more plain about than that. The other thing that I want to note before we get to our next caller is that Homer mentioned Matthew chapter 1, he talked about that being Scripture. Homer and everybody out there, the New Testament writings are not Scripture. Some of it is true, some of it may be true, some of it is completely faulty, but the definition of Scripture that at least we go by in Mike Williams Ministries and the Gospel Revolution is defined. We choose to take the definition that Jesus himself and the disciples agreed upon, and which logic would dictate what was Scripture at that time, which is defined by Christ himself, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. The meaning and the purpose of those teachings, Jesus said, were all about him, were to teach us about Christ, was to give us insight and inspiration and understanding about the immense, cataclysmic, universal effect of the cross on the human race. It is not a blueprint for living. It is not a guidepost for us to the way to conduct our lives. We're going to be getting into this later on in an email that we got based on a conversation via an email we had last week. But I want to make sure that Homer and everybody else understands that the Scripture defined by the people that bring you this webcast every week is equated to the way that Jesus himself defined the scripture. Mike, we see nothing wrong with learning from the New Testament writings, from talking about them, from evaluating them, but they are not scripture.
No, and the important thing is that we have the scriptures to evaluate everything to. It's not up to me to evaluate Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I can have any opinion that I want, or any of the letters of the apostles. I can have an opinion, but my opinion is really worthless in view of the fact that I have the scriptures to turn to see what these things actually mean. To me, it has been unthinkable for the better part of more than a decade now. It is unthinkable to think that anything is scripture other than what Jesus said was the scriptures, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. Because the only way you're going to resolve all biblical issues is to verify and to validate everything through the scriptures. Now, that's why I'm not confused anymore. I could say that all night long. I am not confused anymore about the truth of the gospel. When people disagree or ask questions, I still don't get confused because I know what the scriptures say, number one, and if I don't know, I can find out. It's very clear that when we are doing these debates about Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or Peter, Paul, and James, when we're having these debates about them, it is just so vitally important to know that it's irrelevant in the long run what any one of them said if we do not take the scriptures and let that be the acetate that defines all of these things. You want several more thousand new Christian denominations? Then go on without the understanding of what the scriptures are, because you have no choice but to come up with your own private interpretation of scripture if you don't know what scriptures are. That there is no private interpretation to scriptures, and that's what every church on this planet has derived. They have derived their own private interpretation. That's what every denomination and non-denomination is, from Catholicism all the way down to the charismatic movement. It is private interpretations of the scripture, and there is no such thing as a private interpretation. When you look to see when does God's anger end, I can show it to you in the New Testament, but I can also show you where others talked about another day of judgment coming. You see, I have to go to the scriptures to find out, is there another judgment day? Is Jesus coming back again? Is any of this stuff about Christianity true? Do I have to make Jesus my personal Lord and Savior? All of those things have to be asked to the scriptures.
Right.
And the scriptures
make
it clear.
Of the fulfillment of the scriptures. If you believe the scriptures were fulfilled at the cross, if you believe that Jesus accomplished his mission, which many Christians will say, and then they'll go back to the scriptures and say, look, you can apply these to your own life. You can embrace the days of awe, which we're right in right now as far as the Jewish calendar is concerned, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Whatever Jewish holiday is, they will use this to cause you to think that if you give money during these seasons, that somehow God is going to especially bless you. He's going to bless you all the time if you give, but especially if you give during the Jewish holidays. Ladies and gentlemen, the Jewish holidays were fulfilled at the cross.
Absolutely.
There is nothing more that needs to be done. It cannot be stressed enough. And so, Homer, I hope this helps. We want to hear from you again, and we just are so thankful that you called and that you're getting excited and that you do listen
awesome.
All the time.
Yes.
This is Glenn Klein Online, proving on this webcast Wednesday that we do not follow the law. We said that the Pastor Asks segment was going to be foregone tonight because of all the things we have to do. We are going to hold off on Ted's next question, but he did call, and we do want to honor his effort. He's online right now. He wants to talk a little bit about what happened last week. Some sort of correction, Ted. Hello?
Hey, Brother Glenn. How are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderfully, Brother Ted. Ted calling from Alabama, of course.
Hey, Ted.
And, so what needed to be addressed from last week?
Quick couple of things. Just in at the end of the show last week, we just in passing, you said it is for freedom Christ has made us free.
Right.
I said Colossians, but Mike said not Galatians. So that made me look. Sure enough, it's Galatians.
Okay.
Is it really? Because I corrected myself and said you were right at the end.
Well, I know. I thought you did, but it's Galatians 5, verse 1.
Oh, no, you're right. Oh, no, you're right. This is way different than most scripture battles, isn't it?
This is the King James, stand fast, therefore, in your liberty, wherein Christ hath made us free.
Yeah, that's a good one, ain't it?
Okay, well, and interpreted, that means with freedom, Christ has made us free.
Yeah.
Now, I did not see in there where it said, with freedom, Christ has gave us an option.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
You're a good preacher.
Well. Oh, and that one other thing, just for Homer, bless Homer. I love hearing people call in. I hope other pastors call in, because I know I'm not the only dummy in the world. Maybe they're afraid to call, I don't know. But concerning the scriptures, I did lots of research on that years ago. The scriptures Jesus said was Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms.
Yeah.
But when the Bible was put together, I think around 300 A.D., I think Constantine had a little something to do with it.
Yep.
And they put it together. They called it the Scripture. And then, like you had Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and so forth, was called the Writings.
Yep, you're exactly
the
right.
The New Testament was called the Letters.
Yep.
So you had Scriptures, the Writings, and the Letters. And nowhere in the Letters do they say, Paul, Peter, any of them, that they are verbally inspired. Now, I understand where they get this. I've heard a couple of preachers say, Paul said in one place, maybe Corinthians, Mike, you may have to correct me again. He said, I believe I have the Spirit of God. Okay, well, see, Paul had the Spirit of God. Okay, fine. And then over Peter, Peter said, as our brother Paul said in other scriptures.
Yeah.
So they say, well, see there, Peter said what Paul said in other scriptures, so what Paul said in the scripture. No, that's not what he said.
You're right.
He said what Brother Paul says and the scriptures.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just for Homer's.
No, it's really important, Ted, because it's not logical that things that were being passed around at that time, letters that were going out, words that were being written and spoken, and with the concept of the scriptures within those words, it doesn't make logical sense that they were talking about their own writings when they were referencing the scriptures, because those had not been even come close to being canonized. It wasn't until well into the third and fourth century that the Roman Catholic Church chose what they would call scripture. Listen, folks, if you want to agree with ancient Roman Catholicism on what scripture is, get after it. We just don't.
Really?
We would rather agree with Jesus and at least the one thing the disciples agreed about, which what scripture was. So there you go.
Well, the people that put it together did not call, well, they called it a Bible because that means book.
Yeah.
They didn't call the whole thing scripture.
No, it's exactly.
They called scripture, writings, and letters.
Yep.
And it was only a couple hundred years later that instead of saying, Glenn, would you hand me the scripture, writings, and letters? I'll say, hand me the Bible, scriptures. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Good stuff,
and,
Pastor Ted.
I hope you from some more folks. That was good.
That was awesome. And we've got your query for next week, so we'll be in touch about that, Ted. But we have got to move forward this evening.
Now, do I already know pretty much what I believe about that? Yeah, but I'm anxious to. I know there's other people that want to know.
That's good stuff.
That's very good. All right, Ted, thank you.
Just in passing, I met a couple of friends of Brother Mike's this week. I really appreciate it. I didn't get a number from them, but I did get to meet them, and I hope I get to meet them again.
Did they come to your service on Sunday?
They did.
Pardon me?
Did they come to church on Sunday at your place?
Yes, they did.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
And they were just beautiful people.
They were thrilled. They were thrilled with your service, too. We've already heard back from them.
They just fit right in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I hope I get to see them again. And next time I'm going to get a number so I can keep in touch.
Well, they enjoyed themselves, and you too, Pastor Ted. We appreciate you so much.
Well, listen, I'm looking forward to seeing you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. See you.
Okay, there's Pastor Ted. The pastor asks. That's great. Yeah, we're having a Christian conversation about, no, you were right. You were right. No, you're right. That's awesome. It's Glenn Klein Online. It is Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. We got lots to get to, including we got to talk about the whole situation here in Florida in Gainesville where this pastor's going to burn a bunch of Korans on Saturday to commemorate September 11th. And we're going to talk about Glenn Beck. We've got emails to get to. We may be going overtime, but we want to hear from you at 1-800-436-3260. The line is available to you now, 1-800-436-3260. We will be back in 60 seconds right here on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
What do you want to do? What's your heart say? How many people have wound up married because it was supposed to be the will of God? These are the things that you're all upset about. What would you like to accomplish, regardless of what age you are? Do you know how many people's lives have been paralyzed by sitting back waiting to figure out what the will of God was for their lives? I hate that doctrine. I absolutely detest it. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
That was just a sample of what Mike Williams said when he spoke at the 3rd Annual Gospel Revolution Convention in Calgary. Mike taught the book of Romans verse by verse from beginning to end, and you will never hear Paul's letter to the Romans taught like this. Connie Nelson told me after attending the convention that it changed her life, and she will never see the Bible the same way again. Vic Dobrynin called it groundbreaking stuff, and David Dwyer of Brisbane, Australia said it felt like he had just been through a 10-hour detox program. This 11-hour series entitled The Book of Romans Revealed is available on audio CDs for $88 plus shipping and handling, or you can download it right now for just $44 at gospelrevolution.com. You have to hear it if you're going to believe it.
Well, for those of you who contributed $200 or more to the completed Gospel Revolution Summer Pledge Drive, you're going to be receiving that 11-CD series, as well as the 3-CD series, Don't Offend the Grace of God. And we are happy to report, beautiful humans, that we accomplished our goal.
Drum roll.
Now, this is going to sound hokey, but we had the most we ever had givers during a 3-week, 21-day pledge drive was like 35, 36, somewhere like that. And we've accomplished larger amounts of money in with a lot less people. So we had two dual goals of 100 givers, we called it the Big 100, and $10,000. So we made room for the fact that obviously we are in a financial and economic crunch all over the world. But as of 9 o'clock this evening, when we went online on this Wednesday night, as God is my witness, and as Michael Williams is my witness, who is one with God, we had 100 givers. Exactly 100. For a total... We should have had a goal of 250, But we had a goal of 100, and all you beautiful humans stepped up to the plate. Jeff Robertson, our administrator, did an unbelievable job during the last 21 days.
For sure.
And we did get exactly to 100 people, pledging or donating a total of $10,760. And just because it's so much fun, Michael, I want to go through the names one last time here.
Let's do it. I think it deserves it.
All right, here we go. Joe and Linda Dowdy from Winsboro, Louisiana. An anonymous donation from Mableton, Georgia. Dina Morgan from St. Louis Park, Minnesota. John Van Sickle from Indianapolis, Indiana. Florence Stevan from Kelowna, British Columbia. Benny and Sharon Kennedy from Cushing, Oklahoma. Hazel Williams.
Yes.
Hazel Williams.
She was number 100.
She put us over the top from beautiful Alney,
sure,
Illinois. James and Lisa Metz from Palmyra, Indiana. George Howell from Monongahela. I never pronounce it right.
Monongahela.
Monongahela, Pennsylvania. Greg Savoy from Allen, Texas. Gloria and George Johnson from Athens, Alabama. Cliff Grubbs from Victorville, California. Barry Cooley from Dyersburg, Tennessee. Susan Gomez from Atlanta. Brent Dillard from Fredericksburg, Virginia. Mel Martin from Gainesville, Georgia. Gene Giglio. Am I pronouncing that right?
Giglio.
From Opelika, Alabama.
Opelika.
Yvonne DeClean from Waterford, Wisconsin. Letitia and Michael Cole from Daytona Beach, Florida. Bob Hines from McDonough, Georgia. Stephen Mary Keller from Shiprock, New Mexico. Chris and Alexa Myers from North Augusta, South Carolina. Lucy and Preston Wilkes from Hudson, North Carolina. David Castle from East Peoria, Illinois. Sue Gillespie from Denver, Colorado. James Forehand from Hickory Creek, Texas. Claudia Weldon from Nogales, Arizona. Todd and Angela Gray from LaPorte City, Iowa. Carol Howell from London, Ontario. Randy Johnson from Charlotte, North Carolina. Richard and Kay Ebel from Madison, Alabama. Carrie and Rito Waitman from Whitehall, Montana. Lee Callender from Nassau, the Bahamas. James Taylor from Calhoun, Louisiana. Michelle Collins from Mills Creek, Oklahoma. Mark Arch Ambal from Tucson, Arizona. Rick Kroth from Baytown, Texas. Peggy Zuniga from Waterfield, Maryland. Jackie Bernard from Manchester, Tennessee. Jan and Frank Alardo from Mobile, Alabama. Dan and Pamela Vanelli from Green Valley, Arizona. Brad and Gloria Matoga from Graceland, Alberta. Danny Landry from Yarmouth, Nova Scotia. Roy Muse from Yarmouth, Nova Scotia. Todd Lang from Valparaiso, Indiana. Wayne Jensen from Bingham Lake, Minnesota. Chris and Glennon Harrington from Nogadoches, Texas. Beverly Ryan from Indian Wells, California. An anonymous donation from Salem, Oregon. Tom and Lyndon Welby from Fredericton, New Brunswick. Arthur Wirth from Brandon, Manitoba. Jerry DeWitt from DeRidder, Louisiana. Greg Ambergy from Kings Mill, Ohio. Billy and Jeannie Schultz from Pollock Pines, California. Tim and Beth Knappenberger from Canton, Ohio. Bud and Ruth Ramsey from Park River, North Dakota. Becky Walker from Marshall, Saskatchewan. Tom Tomsky from Canton, Ohio. Billy Thompson. Here I go. I don't have the correct pronunciation. Huachuca City, Arizona. Bill Detremont from Yarmouth, Nova Scotia. David Dwyer from Brisbane, Australia. A Mosaic Mural from Sturgeon County, Alberta. Mac and Rosa Walker from West Monroe, Louisiana. Jeff and Kate Benham from Geelong, Australia. Another anonymous from Edmonton, Alberta. Mel Uppenborn from Kelowna, British Columbia. Sandra Wilson from California, Helen Gannett from St. Alberta, Dwayne and Ruth Daku from Saskatchewan, Robert and Shelley Orr from Libby, Montana, Annette Hogan from Union, New Jersey, David Johnson from DeKalb, Illinois, Dan Myers from Tampa, Florida, Barbara Imig from Beecher, Illinois, Ted Winsett from Decatur, Alabama, another anonymous gift from Fitchburg, Wisconsin, Betty Cochran from Otoka, Oklahoma, Richard Moe from Garden Grove, California, Tressa Martin from Spokane, Washington, James and Gail Gustafson from Estevan, Saskatchewan, Victor Brennan from Calgary, James Washburn from Marshfield, Wisconsin, the Pepster, Leroy Barrel from Marshfield, Wisconsin, Steve Snyder from Birmingham, Alabama, Sam Gerard from Bellingham, Washington, Alvin Cooper from Cape Coral, Florida, Glenn Buckles from Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, Phyllis Schultz from Furnas, British Columbia, Paul Harvard from Gloss, I don't know where that is. Oh, that's from the UK. That's where that is. Andrik and Ninka Palsma from Bashaw, Alberta. Elizabeth Ward from Monroe, Washington. Bernard Colby from Elizabeth, New Jersey. Kem Kemp from Aberthur, British Columbia. Rowan and Diane Raphael from British Columbia. Robert and Linda Parks from Mobile, Alabama. Terry and Kelly Jimerson from Littleton, Colorado. Lee Lau from Hong Kong. George Najjar from Howard, Ohio, Richard and Pat Salinen from Waukesha, Wisconsin, and Leon Jones from North, South Carolina. The big 100.
Yay!
The big 100, beautiful humans. That's
It's beautiful.
What a list. So you know what? We're not going to be able to do that anymore. I mean, we're just—it's getting so big. We're going to have to take those in pieces. I think the first pledge drive that we did for the summer just. Well, four Wednesdays ago now, actually three Wednesdays ago, I think we had seven people.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
That we were thanking.
Yeah.
That's 100, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
The impact of those 100 people participating, the CDs that are going to be going out, we cannot even measure the impact that that's going to have, Michael.
Well, too, and, you know, the vast majority of these are husband and wife couples. So, you know, this represents 150 to 175 people just as couples, not counting their families, you know, that are very involved in the gospel that chose to put their support behind this particular effort this time. We have a lot of people who... give on a monthly basis who were not able to contribute in this and you know, a host of other people who contribute at different times who have scheduled times that they contribute that they were not able to this particular time. It's tough out there, you know, and but people still did what they could and made this a successful pledge drive. And believe me, it has made a wonderful impact on the finances of the ministry. We do not yet have enough coming in on a monthly basis to sustain us from month to month, but by the time we get down to the fourth month, we are beginning to juggle bills, pay this one, don't pay that one, and then the pledge drive, you know, comes along and does... soak this up and puts us back to where that we are, you know, we're fine. And so we really encourage people who gave this time to thank you, number one. We thank you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. But consider even those in situations where it's just small amounts, just do that every month. Do it whenever you can. I mean, we've got... Scott Johnson, who is probably...
David Johnson.
David Johnson, who is probably one of our smallest contributors, yet during the process of this 3 weeks, his total contributions have come to nearly $200.
Yeah, when we say smallest contributors, we mean per contribution.
Yes, absolutely. He gives the smallest per contribution gifts that we get. And
but he does it all the time, beautiful human.
He does it all the
time. What David will do, I mean, we'll get contributions from him for $7.90, for $2.35.
Yeah.
Every so often for something, you know, $25, every so often $50-some. But what it all adds up. And over the course of these 21 days, as he does what he does all year round, that ended up being close to $200.
Yeah, it absolutely did.
When
so
you're
just to tell
thinking
everybody
about this
that
effort,
very
when you're
important.
Thinking about the gospel, when you're thinking about Michael, go on the website and give us $5.
Yeah.
It ain't going to hurt that much. And if you do it a few times a month, and if more and more people out of the Big 100 and others who, for whatever reason, have not given in this pledge drive would do that, we would be financially in a much better shape.
Yeah.
But we're done talking about finances for right now. We've got 15 minutes left or thereabouts, and we hit it hard for 21 days. Again, thank you to everybody who participated. Big thanks and big ups to Jeff Robertson for all of his work.
Thanks,
and now
Jeff,
let us
so
continue.
Much.
We are going to go back to the phones and to back to Alabama from Evans, Alabama. Gloria Johnson's on the line. Gloria!
Hello.
How are
Gloria?
You?
Gloria.
Hi.
How are
nice
you, dear?
To talk to you.
It is so good to hear your voice again. My goodness.
I know. It's been a long, long time.
It sure
and
has.
And I just tuned in a little bit ago, and I caught the very end of Pastor Ted calling in.
Yes. Well,
and
he's
just
wanting to make sure he has your number and everything.
And tell him that we really did enjoy the time we spent with them and that we will definitely be coming back.
That's so awesome. That is just awesome after all of these years. And here we have... Now, see, there's just no guidelines for the gospel revolution, folks. You know, here we have people bailing on church right and left. We've never told anybody, instructed anybody to leave church at all. And yet we have people bailing on church. We talk about the hazards of church. And now we have two gospel revolutionaries that we sent to church. So
it's amazing.
Don't ever try to pin us down.
I have not really been in church since the time you were at Impact. I left shortly thereafter. I continued going for a while, and I visited other churches, but I just couldn't bring myself to be subjected to that every week. And the good stuff that I got out of it just wasn't enough to counteract the bad stuff.
Let me update the folks on what you're talking about. I'm sure that you don't mind. Impact Ministries is the church that is pastored by Jim Richards, who very eloquently deemed my life to be a failed life in his video. And that's kind of what brought Gloria and I back together again. I mean, it brought in our first major contribution for the pledge drive. It's brought me and Gloria back into contact again. And other people, I've heard from other people since then also, Gloria, that were there at Impact Ministries, and that the impact that was made by my last visit there, which the recording was lost. Nobody could find it somehow.
Well,
somehow
I was there live that night, so I can vouch it was said.
Somehow, the one meeting that was not recorded was mine that night, and but it did have the impact that I wanted it to. I wanted people to not stop growing in grace. I remember on the way there, Gloria, my heart was so filled. I was just absolutely running over. Actually, I was driving, and the guy who was working for me was writing, and I was telling him, you've got to write this down, you've got to write this down, you've got to write this down, because stuff was coming to me so quickly sitting in the van. And I remember that my opening statement, I remember it, recorded or not, and I said, I was talking about the power of the message of God's grace was beginning to saturate the earth, but now that the grace of God is spreading, some are wanting to build a dam, have built a dam to try to hold God's grace back. And just at the time that the church had built a dam to keep God's grace back, and just at the time when the grace of God was about to spill over the top of this dam, some deemed it necessary to build this dam higher, and it was those who were preaching God's grace. And I remember that so clearly. And so my message, all mechanical things failed that night. All people in charge failed that night. And somehow that recording did not get made. So I definitely say that tongue-in-cheek because you and I both know that those mistakes were not made. And that recording was destroyed.
Definitely not. They did not make those kinds of mistakes.
No. So,
but I had not listened to your message in years and years and years. And, you know, when I finally caught back up with you, I've listened to the last three archives. I listened to Jim and Alan's video that they made. And I did have a couple of things that I'm curious about. And the thing, when you said that the New Testament is not Scripture, per se, and what does that do with the Holy Spirit? How does he fit into now? These are just some thoughts I wrote down that I had questions about, like, for instance, the rapture. And I know this is an awful lot to throw at you, but prayer.
We talked
on that some last week about, but I mean praying for, I pray about everything. If I lose my keys, I'm like, Lord, where did I put them? And I feel like he shows me where I put them. And healing. I had a friend that was healed from Lou Gehrig's disease. I mean, she was in a wheelchair for 6 years and got up and walked. And then you made a comment about that it's been a long time since you preached that everyone was in heaven. I think someone made a reference to Hitler being in heaven. So my question is, isn't everyone in heaven? I mean, if everyone is saved by the blood.
All right, hold on, Gloria. You just covered
sorry.
About three
I figured you could no,
no, no, no,
get
no.
that in the next
no, there,
few
there are no apologies needed, no apologies accepted.
All wonderful questions.
We just got about 10 minutes left, and you just asked about three webcasts worth of questions,
which is great.
Which is fantastic. But, all right. Michael, do you want me to handle these questions quickly, or can you do it in about 2 minutes?
No, we can address it. I've got to go back and collect each one of them. First off, I suggest that you go back and listen to Pastor Ted's, our conversation with Pastor Ted about the scriptures.
Earlier tonight?
Yeah, he was very clear about what the scriptures are. He explained it also, and what he's saying is very, very true about how this all started, and the only thing that is scripture is the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, the first five books of the Bible. And we help people understand that the New Testament's a wonderful place to study from. However, the guys do disagree. Peter and James and John, these guys do disagree with each other, and you have to go back to the scriptures to see who's right. So to cover that, the Holy Spirit... I do believe that the Holy Spirit is in operation in the earth. I do not claim, though, Gloria, to know the full extent of what the Holy Spirit is doing. I've told people for years, I do understand the Holy Spirit, the great teacher. Now, others may know him I understand the Holy Spirit in many different ways. That's the one that I understand the Holy Spirit in. I think he is so... multifaceted that there's no way that I could contain that or him. The one thing that I do know that he teaches, though, is that he teaches us about Jesus. The Holy Spirit's not here to teach us about how to get a job or any of those things.
Or where to find your car keys.
But I certainly understand the issues about praying for everything. The funny thing that happened to me was as I stopped praying about everything, I still found my keys. I still, all of these things still happened even though I didn't stop and pray about them. Now, let me tell you in just a moment here what that did for me. It made me feel more like I was in charge of my life, kind of like the way that it was for freedom that we were set free.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would never contradict somebody who says that they prayed and God did this and God did that. The thing that I have to say, though, in my experience, is that I stopped praying about those things, and if it's God doing it, he still did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And if I just found my keys, then I just found my keys anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The issue of an absolute miracle, such as someone with Lou Gehrig's disease, if this person was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, and they no longer have Lou Gehrig's disease, one of two things happened. I don't know if Lou Gehrig's disease can go into remission or not. I know cancer can. I don't know that Lou Gehrig's disease can go into remission. But if somebody got out of a wheelchair who had Lou Gehrig's disease, that's a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly would not argue with that. The thing that I don't want people to do is to frivolously use the term the miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
But if miracle's there, miracle's there.
Here's how we would define a miracle, Gloria, is that there is no explanation at all for it.
Absolutely
not. They were not under any medication.
Yeah.
They weren't under any treatment.
No remission possible.
It was a death sentence, just like most people say that they have a death sentence if they've got Lou Gehrig's disease. One of the things that I think we could say that if this was a miracle, in other words, there was absolutely no explanation for the removal of that horrible disease from that person's body, it was not because God answered their prayer.
Yeah.
It was just a miracle. In other words, it was an unexplained circumstance.
Yeah.
Those are very, very rare.
Because you see,
we are the first to say that they do happen or that they could happen, because
but
we know things
God
like that
God is not
happen.
Involved in it.
It was not an answer to anybody's prayer. It may have lined up. The result may have lined up with somebody's prayer. But if that were true, if God answered that prayer and didn't answer other people's prayers for
who had Lou Gehrig's disease,
then God
I see that all the time in tornadoes down here where people say, the Lord saved me, and then the next shot will be somebody where their wife and child was killed.
Yeah.
Right.
See, and that's what I am battling against is that mental illness almost that comes with, well, if God did this, why didn't he do that? And what we have to do, especially when it comes to prayer, and I believe that people come out of things because people come out of things. People survive plane crashes not because it's miraculous, but because of the certain dynamics. These things happen. But if it is an absolute miracle, just like they call it the miracle on the Hudson, the plane that landed there,
mm-hmm.
I very emphatically tell people that was not a miracle, and so does Captain Sullenberger. He says it was not a miracle.
Right, that was skill.
Yeah, it was skill and training and what the plane was designed to do. It did what it was supposed to do under a trained staff, under a trained captain and crew. So I'm just very careful about the term miracle. And
mm-hmm.
But if it is, believe me, I believe in God. So people say, well, you don't believe in miracles. I believe in God. I have to believe in miracles. But I'm not going to settle for everything that happens in Benny Hinn's meeting being a miracle.
Oh, me either, believe me.
You know,
well,
what about
are all humans in heaven?
Yes. Wherever that is, the power of the blood of Jesus removed sin off the face of the earth and made the entire planet righteous and holy. So everybody that's there, number one, don't deserve it. Whether you were Hitler or Gloria or Mike Williams,
exactly.
we're all going to make it. None of us deserve it. None of us believed anything good enough to warrant that. None of us obeyed anything good enough to warrant that. And so it was beyond our belief, beyond our obedience. that Christ redeemed us, and therefore he redeemed everyone, which is what, you'll catch up with some of these things. Your questions are priceless. They're valuable, not just for you to answer, but they're priceless for the people to hear. They're just priceless. So
the one thing that I would suggest, Gloria, if you do nothing else, when you have time and you're going about your office or your wherever you have your computer, if you can listen back to webcasts, we've got over 4 years.
My niece Tammy. She said, "Have you looked and seen how many there are?"
Yeah, we've been doing this since, well, it's almost exactly 4 years ago. We started this in 2006. All of those questions have been addressed in many different ways over the 4 years. But even if we have new people listening all the time, so this is great.
So the questions are good for now.
And this would be my suggestion for anybody out there. Even if you just listen to the last 2 years, every so often, flip one on. Go back to 2009, turn it on, listen to it, have a sense of what's going on. We have addressed all these issues and will continue to. And also, just so everybody knows, Michael's home phone number and my home phone number are a public record on the website.
Yeah.
You can call us. We'll be happy to talk to you.
Yeah.
But our time is very short on the webcast, and your questions are phenomenal. We're so happy that you found your keys, and that you found found Michael again. That's just and do not hesitate in any shape or form to be in touch with us, whether it be on the webcast, email us, call the show. And thank you so much for participating in the pledge drive as well.
Thank you, Gloria,
you're welcome,
so much.
And you will be hearing back from me again.
Okay, Gloria.
Thank you, dear.
Have a good night.
Good night. I just want to break out in Van Morrison's old song, Gloria. Well, we're right up against the clock, and I know Sean is pressed for time, but we've got to get to the Glenn Beck excerpt. We've got other things that we wanted to talk about. We've got an email from Chad Bramwell, who responded to our conversation about his email last week. We're not going to get to that. We're not going to get to any other emails. We're not going to get to Joel Osteen and Larry King or Benny Hinn calling Joel Osteen demon possessed. We'll do all that later. But Glenn Beck, coming out of the big rally in Washington a week ago last Saturday, was on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace. And Chris Wallace specifically asked Glenn Beck why Beck was critical of what he perceived as Barack Obama's interpretation of Christianity, and that what, in Glenn Beck's mind, classic Christianity was. Beck was honest, but he was also completely convoluted. The mishmash that you're going to hear in this short segment so defines modern conservative legalistic religion and this codification of the American gospel, if you will, the American religion. We had a play for you, and we want to hear Michael's comments. So here's Glenn Beck from Fox News Sunday last Sunday.
And I'm not judging him for that. I'd love to have an open conversation about collective salvation. Chris, I don't know what you know or what you believe, but most Christians, when you say I'm a Christian, and look, I'm a Mormon, and most Christians don't recognize me as a Christian, so who am I to say? I'm not judging. I'm saying most Christians would look at collective salvation, which is my salvation, my redemption, is incumbent on what the collective does. So I can't be saved unless the collective is saved. Well, that is a direct opposite of what the gospel talks about. Jesus came for personal salvation. It's why people say, you know, you just accept Jesus and you're saved. That's not what my church teaches. You are, but then you got to get in there and plug. You got to change your heart as well.
All right. That is awesome. That is absolutely fantastic. So here's Glenn Beck, the leader of this rally with hundreds of thousands of people who would identify themselves as classic Christians or evangelical Christians, as Mormons, as Roman Catholics, whatever they were. And here he's saying, on the one hand, he's not going to judge. Who's he to judge? Because Christians judge his Mormon faith. And then he goes on to judge. He says that Jesus came, Michael, for personal salvation. Then he says in his church, that's not good enough. He's actually saying what most evangelical churches won't say, that Jesus isn't good enough.
Yeah.
The schizophrenic nature of evangelical, conservative, legalistic religion, Christian religion, may it never have been better articulated and better demonstrated than that 90-second clip.
No, you know, I'm going to have to move on from Franklin Graham giving the absolute clarification of why I am not and cannot be a Christian to move it over to Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck has described in fervent detail why I am not a Christian and I cannot be, Mormon or otherwise. It's not possible for me to be a Christian because the lunacy that was described, I mean, I want to turn into, what was Oprah's psychologist she had on about?
Dr. Phil?
Dr. Phil, I'm going to turn in Dr. Phil and saying, how's that working for you? You know, because it ain't working for nobody. That salvation is not a salvation. The collective salvation is not a salvation. None of it is a salvation. None of it is redemption. None of it is redemption, for sure. That's all I know to say is that that's a perfect explanation as to why I am not a Christian. I cannot be a Christian because Jesus redeemed me and Glenn Beck and Franklin Graham and all Mormons and all Christians and all Catholics and all Jews, all Muslims, all believers and non-believers 2,000 years ago. And all the demonstration of all these religions is a total insult to the work of the cross of Jesus Christ. They're saying that he did not do the work he was sent to do. He did not complete it. He did not do it. And I refuse to join their ranks and say I am a Christian. Because by virtue of me saying I'm a Christian, I'm saying I figured out, in some form, I'm saying I figured out how to get redeemed, instead of knowing that I was redeemed 2,000 years ago. I won't join the choir. I refuse to join the chorus. I won't sing the song. I won't do the goose step. I will not march along. I am not a Christian. I am not going to be a Christian. I got delivered from being a Christian, and I will never be a Christian. I am a powerful believer in Jesus Christ and the redemptive work of the cross, but Christianity and its day of insulting the word of, the work of the cross has got to come to an end, whether it is inception in Catholicism or its evolution into Mormonism. It is coming to an end.
That's the leader, ladies and gentlemen, of the movement that is trying to restore honor and the traditional American values of schizophrenic nutcase leading to insanity religion. That's Glenn Beck.
Yep.
He sounds so reasonable. He sounds so calm on that. But it is craziness.
Yeah.
It is nuts stuff.
Jeffrey
and
Palmer,
we know why. It's not nuts just because somebody doesn't agree with somebody politically. It's not crazy just because they don't agree with somebody's theology. It is illogical. It has caused so much harm. I cannot wait for the day where either you or I or somebody confronts Glenn Beck and Franklin Graham and people of that ilk with the knowledge that we have and the truth. These reporters, whether it be Chris Wallace or anybody else, are so ill-informed. They're so unknowing about
they can't even ask the question.
Michael, does the Bible ever say, does the gospel of Jesus Christ say that he came for personal salvation? Anywhere?
Not a single place. It doesn't say he came for personal salvation. It doesn't say he's a personal Lord. It doesn't say he's a personal Savior. He's not a personal Jesus. Jesus is the Redeemer of the world. The infusion of this term personal, Redeemer, personal Savior, is an absolute. It is an absolute lie. It doesn't exist in the Bible or in Scriptures to any extent whatsoever. It is just not true. You can't make Jesus Lord. That is so ridiculous to say that you must make Jesus the Lord of your life. God made Jesus Lord over all. What about that is not understandable? How is there anything personal? I take it personally. I am personally grateful. I am personally overjoyed. I am personally inspired by the fact that I was redeemed, not by collective salvation. It's another lie that we'd have to address on another day, but a worldwide redemption. Jesus came to redeem the world. Do you believe he succeeded or do you believe he failed? That's the only question you need to address. And then starts all the ifs, ands, buts, and maybes.
Right. Well, they would say, yes, he succeeded, but.
But. And thank God, when I teach the gospel, to date, I have not had to say if, and, but, or maybe. Jesus is Lord. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. Jesus came to redeem the world. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. Jesus took away the sin of the world. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. Jesus did away with the law. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. Jesus imputed his righteousness to this planet. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. There isn't any ifs, ands, buts, or maybes in the magnificent scriptures that reveal the power of the work of the cross and Christ to us. In the what the blood of Jesus Christ would do, a man born of a virgin who is God in the flesh, who died on the cross, who rose from the dead, is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and came to carry out that process through that virgin birth, to carry that out for the redemption of the world, not a personal salvation.
Lift Jesus higher, lift
yeah.
Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up before men, I will draw all men unto me. What's wrong with that song?
It's already fulfilled, and it's not talking about exalting Jesus. It's talking about crucifying Jesus. So basically, we're singing, crucify Jesus again, crucify Jesus again, crucify him again so the world can see.
Exactly. That, you guys, that is what it, we, that's such a sweet song. It
I
sounds
know.
So wonderful.
I wish
it
I could
so
sing
pretty.
It. I
he
can't
was already
sing it,
lifted
though.
Up.
I can't
One
sing
time.
It, though. I can't sing it because I ain't a Christian.
So what's my excuse?
You're just reincarnating George Beverly Shea. Oh, I know.
No, that wasn't George. That was, I don't know what the hell that was.
Oh, it was another
You guys,
spirit, huh?
We have so many emails. Let me just name some of the names here of people that we're not going to get to tonight. We got stuff from Warren Emmerich, from Lee Callender, from Chris Harrington, from Pep Washburn, from Lee Lau, from Paul Harvard, from Tammy Robinson. Who else? From Sandra Wilson. From Don Keyes. From Richard Mull. From Victor Brennan. From Chris Reed. Chris wanted us to talk about the nut case that's going on in Gainesville on Saturday with the Koran burning.
Yeah.
We didn't get to Chris Bramwell's request or response from last week. We didn't get to Jackie Bernard's email that he's just sent tonight. We didn't get to so much, but our time's up.
Yep.
I'm telling you, we've got enough information, inspiration, and intelligence to do this every frickin' day.
Yeah.
We could do this every day. Never run out of anything, never run out of excitement, never run out of enthusiasm. But we got once a week, which we're thankful for. We're thankful so much for everybody who participated in the pledge drive. We're thankful so much for everybody that supports this effort and that deigns to believe that Jesus actually accomplished what he set out to do over 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, that he was successful, that he was not a failure, that it was not a failed life. Holy mackerel.
Yep. My life is not a failed life because Jesus' life was not a failed life.
Exactly. God, that pisses me off. Oh, man. I'll tell you, there's something wrong with me, Michael.
Well,
there's something seriously wrong with me that gets so excited. See, folks, you don't understand. Maybe you do. But Michael and I, like, we have these conversations all the time just on the phone, just talking to each other. And we get all excited, and we get all challenged, and we get all inspired by the gospel. I said something, I think, earlier this week, Michael, was that even if none of this was true, even if none of the story, even if the foreshadowing, even if the entire scripture was just made up, it still would not be any less valid.
Yeah.
Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
Yeah.
It works, beautiful humans.
Oh.
It has the effect on the soul. Yeah. It's not going to find your car keys. It's not going to heal your body. It's not going to provide an abundance of finances. It's not going to heal your marriage. It's not going to cause somebody not to be gay. It's not going to cause somebody not to be promiscuous or use drugs or like rock and roll music. But what it is going to do and what it does do is stabilize the heart and have people see themselves as perfect and holy and righteous in the Creator of the universe and equal with every other person. That's powerful.
That's the power of God. One. Most
We're all
powerful
one,
number
beautiful
on
humans.
Earth.
We are all one.
Yeah.
There's that old song that one is the loneliest number. No.
Yeah.
One is the most wonderful number.
It really
is. It is the most all-inclusive number that I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
It's the largest number you've ever heard, too.
It is a big, old number.
All
right.
No greater
we
number
have
than
gone
one.
Way over time. Thanks, Michael. Well, I don't know what we're going to do. We may have to have a good old-fashioned just all-email webcast. We haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, we have to do it occasionally, though.
Yes, we are dedicated to getting to your questions and comments, but we just... It's just we run short of time, and we want to take the calls, and we want to have a good time. So that's what we're going to do. You can call us, as I said earlier, to Gloria. I mean, Michael's number is 281-955-1910. My number is 813-363-9545. You can call us. We'll talk to you. We're happy to hear from you. We will address your emails, and for those that we didn't get to, our apologies, but... we are out of time, out, as they say, north of the border. I want to thank Jeff Robertson for being the administrator of the Gospel Revolution. Thanks, Sean O'Halloran. O'Halloran, for being the producer, engineer, and call screener extraordinaire. Until we do this in 1 week's time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody.